Thanks be to God indeed. As you've heard a couple of times this morning, our stewardship campaign this year is themed Streams of Generosity. Right? Each year we set aside some time to just for a reminder to all of us about stewardship, what it is, what it isn't, and how what you give in time, talents, in service, and in resources, how that is used. And this year's stewardship theme emerged as Chapel Hill's leadership was discussing the many ways that God has blessed us in this congregation in this past couple of years. Your continued commitment to giving and generosity toward missions has allowed us to care for our facilities and to help in our community in ways that we simply could not without what you give. The term God's economy of abundance has applied to our situation and our work. In God's economy, giving inspires giving. Giving generates more giving. The more we give, the more we are able to give. We stepped out on faith, and we've done a number of things that by ourselves we simply could not have accomplished. And what has happened is counterintuitive. One would think that if one continues to give things away, eventually you would run out of things to give. But in God's economy of abundance, our giving inspires the giving of others and increases our ability to give more. What actually happens is that when we give, we're making room to receive more blessing from God. And what we receive stretches us toward new and creative ways to give. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of backwards of what you might think. In Ezekiel chapter 47, God gives the prophet Ezekiel a vision of a spring that begins under the altar in the temple and flows out from there into all the world with tributaries adding to its flow all along the way. What starts as a small spring flows into great rivers and eventually flows into the seas and the oceans. In this vision, God is the source of the goodness that flows from the temple, and people wade deeper into the water as the river grows. And this river is seen as the source of all life. This vision Ezekiel is given likely recalls the description of the same theme in the Genesis text that we shared this morning. We will come back to Ezekiel's vision in a couple of weeks, but today I want us to consider the significance of understanding the source, the headwaters of generosity, if you will. Speak a little personally, I am from Portland, Michigan. Portland, Michigan is called the City of Two Rivers because there the Looking Glass River flows into the Grand River as it flows out to Lake Michigan. The house we owned just before we moved from Portland into ministry was located on the river. We had river frontage on the back of the lot, and the river was quite wide where we lived, but it was shallow. You could walk across the river. It was about there in the summer. Even in the spring, you probably would get waist or chest high at the most. It just wasn't a deep place in the river. But less than a mile up downstream from where we lived, where the Thornapple came in, right in the heart of downtown Portland, the rivers were there first, I'm saying. But right in the heart of downtown, those rivers flowed together. The water was suddenly deep. And the river was considerably wider at that place. The tributary pouring in changed the waters. The waters stirred and they made deep pools because of the currents that flowed together. I don't understand the geology or the geography of all of it, how the stuff all flows together. But this thing happens when one water source flows into another water source. It changes the water source. It deepens and widens. And I think that's how generosity works as well. When we went into ministry, we were moved to Jackson, Michigan, serving a church called Brookside. Unbeknownst to me, the headwaters for the Grand River that my family still lives on start just south of Jackson in the Irish Hills area. When I found this out, someone took me there. We walked around, and these tiny little streams, you could just literally step over them, was the headwaters of the Grand River right there. The brook that ran beside the church, Brookside United Methodist Church, poured into Sharp Lake, which poured into tributaries, which poured into the Grand River. I was still living by the same source of water that I lived on in my hometown. There was something comforting about knowing that I was right by this source of life that flowed by my home and by my parents' home in Portland, Michigan. It all starts with just a trickle. When you hear the sound up here, when you're at the headwaters of a place, there's this source of water, this trickling sound, often in a brook, where a brook begins. And I am so far off this script. Right? I'm going to show you a map of this, the thing that I was just talking about. We lived in Portland, which, if you are on this map, the blue line, the heavy blue line, is the Grand River. Right? The source waters are south of Jackson, on your right-hand side of the map. And the river flows that way. When you go north of Lansing, that lateral tributary right there, that's the Looking Glass River. And where those two meet is Portland, Michigan. Right? Last year in the winter, in the news, Portland was in the news quite a bit because there was an ice jam in Portland, right? There's a dam about 4 miles downstream from Portland, and the ice began to build up, and then the water began to build up under the ice, and it flooded the businesses that are on the Grand River there in town. That might be a point of reference for you. But we moved from Portland, where the rivers join, down to Jackson, and the source of the water that we were experiencing in both places was the same. It just felt comforting and familiar. When I discovered where the headwaters were, we went out there, and I did that already. So my experience with this small river in Michigan helps me to identify with this text that we're taking up today, right? I want to read to you again, verses 10 through 14. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, paradise. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first was the Pishon. It winds through Havilah, where there's some gold. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. A map of those. Eden is in the middle, where that lake is. All those waters all begin there, and and Eden is quite large. So the Pishon is down here on the bottom right, then the Tigris and the Euphrates is down here on the left side of the map, and the Gihon River, all running out to the sea, but all starting with the same source from the same region, springs that God made spring up from the ground to give the planet life. The Hebrew words for Pishon and Gihon mean to gush or to spurt. The names of these headwaters refer to them coming forth from the earth. God, as the creator of the earth, must then be the source of this gushing, the source of this water. And they start in Eden, the place of creation. These great rivers are a part of our creation story. God not only identifies these headwaters as the source of all life on earth, God is identified as the source of the headwaters. And these headwaters flow from Eden, God's intended paradise for humankind. These great rivers continue to flow today. Their source is unending. The source of the streams that lie in the headwaters continue to pour out and gush forth and sustain life wherever it flows. God's generosity works in much the same way. God is the source of all that we have. All our gifts come from God. Gifts of time, talents, and resources can all be traced to the same beginning, God. And here in Genesis, God is God's creation story. As those resources supplied by God spring forth in our lives, we become a part of God's streams of generosity. As we give back, the resources that God has given us become a part of this great river of resources that helps sustain life on this planet. To continue the metaphor, we can think of ourselves as tributaries. No matter how great or small our contributions are, they become a part of that which flows from God, and that which flows from God sustains life in the communities and world around us. I believe that God is the source of life. God is the source of all that we have, the source of all goodness in our world. By giving back from what we have, our talents, our gifts, our resources, our abilities, our time, by contributing those to this flow of God's generosity, we increase our ability to reach people who have not yet set foot in this river of life. In the United Methodist Church, our members are asked to support the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. In our prayer, we are acknowledging that God as the source of all that we have. Praying for God to provide for us would not make sense if we didn't understand God as the provider. When we are praying for healing, it is out of an understanding that God is the source of all healing. When we pray for resources like food and clothing and shelter or the means to provide these things, we are acknowledging that God is the source of these things. Likewise, when we pray for peace, for wisdom, for faith, and for every other thing that you might ever pray for, we do so because we believe that God is the source, that the headwaters for all these things flow starting from God and God's creation. I want to talk for a minute mostly about the state of the church. We talk about the number of people that are in church, the number of people that are in church. I mean, statistics show that about 80% of our community don't affiliate directly with a worshiping community. When they're polled, they say none, I'm spiritual but not religious, or something of that nature, and they're not connected with a religious community. Now, I'm not judging them at all. Culture changes, but what happens when that happens is that we are living, the community is living or drawing life. From God is the source, an unending source, but only 20% of us or so are contributing to this river of goodness that flows from this place, at least in traditional ways. And so church feels strained under the weight of that, because all of the needs in the community are the same, if not more. But somehow in this season, even under these circumstances, we are wildly blessed here at Chapel Hill, able to give in ways that other churches simply can't. We're able to maintain our facilities and our buildings in ways that others just simply are out of reach for them. This, to me, is evidence that God is doing something significant in this place. And he's doing that through you. By wading into the water, by splashing around in God's streams of generosity and contributing when you can, we are increasing what flows from here under God's blessing. That's the truth of what's happening in this place. Giving God, go back to the prayers, presence, prayers, presence, gift, service, witness, we're at presence. Giving God presence in community is setting aside of time and offering our gifts and informing community. As many of us have learned by now, time is a precious commodity. I was just whining about not having time in the library. We're talking with friends between services. I'll own it. Like, we have had something going every weekend, as far as I can remember. Most of it by our own option, but I crave time, just time. To rest. Time is a precious commodity. There are only and will ever only be 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 52 weeks in a year. Putting aside lifespan, time is the one thing that is distributed equally to all of us. We all have the same 24 hours each day to be used as we see fit. Giving the church our presence is sharing our time with God and with each other. Our presence also is an offering of ourselves in relationship with others, in community. God has created each of us uniquely and then called us together in community so that each unique gift can be combined with the gifts that fit together with others for achieving greater good. That's God's design. When we share our time, we are sharing ourselves and all that God has made us to be with others. And God multiplies the blessings of those gifts when we use them together. We've talked some about sharing of our gifts. The metaphor of headwaters, streams, and rivers certainly applies here. Our collective resources make all kinds of things possible that simply would not be without our giving. From the beginning of time, communities of people have pooled their physical resources, each one giving some so that more could be accomplished together. Our gifts to the church don't stop at the church. The church does not exist to accumulate wealth, but rather to place, rather a place through which our resources flow. Even payroll and sustaining the building, those things flow through the expenses when you think about the ways the staff and the resources are used to minister to people and provide service in the community. I want you to hear again, the church does not exist to accumulate wealth. Therefore, when we consider what we give, it's not about what the church has. Some people groan because the church in general, the Big C church, the global church, is one of the wealthiest institutions in the world. I groan too, a little. Because we've got all these assets, all these resources tied up in buildings and art and shrines and all this stuff when it stops flowing when it gets locked up in those things. So what the church already has is no bearing on what we give. We give based on what God has given us, based on our relationship and our understanding that God is the source of all we have and that we're asked to give back. You know, talking about that the resources and the church and holding them or letting them go, I had a conversation with Linda Gropp, our lay leader, this morning about the pond mentality versus river mentality. A pond mentality, if it's not a spring-fed pond, if its source of water is coming from another place, it fills up, and then if you use the water of the pond, it shrinks down. So when we think of our resources as a pond, we tend to do what we can do to conserve them. We don't want to use the pond so that it shrinks to a puddle, so we'll start not doing things because we're afraid of consuming that which God has offered us. Pond mentality. But think about the difference between that and a river mentality. The river flows, the stream flows from, even you can imagine this stream, flows from here out down the center aisle and out the door. We get to participate in what's already started and contribute to that and make it deeper and wider that people can wade in and swim in, can enjoy the resources that God is pouring through this place, not into this place. It's a way different way to think about what we're doing when we give. Service is another way for us to use the time and gifts together. Think about the building a house. It takes an architect, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, masons, landscapers, you name it. It takes a lot of people to make a house come together. The same principle is true for the work of the church. Giving our time and talents in service to others allows the church to offer services that we simply could not offer individually unless the gifts you bring are offered together with the gifts of others. And now, witness. Our witness is claiming God as the source of the good in our lives. We talked about there being 20% of people in church somewhere on Sunday and 80% of people not in church somewhere on Sunday. When we witness to the time and the talents and our offerings and what's happening in the life of the church, what we are doing, what we're saying to people outside the church is that this is important in our lives. Church is an important resource in our lives, and it's important for us to be connected in that resource. And if we speak that often enough, others will be attracted to the same goodness and blessings and graces that are experienced here in this church. But we have to tell folks that that's why we're here. I have had a number of people ask me, why would you work for the church? And I'll simply say, because I'm called to it. I can't do anything else. Right? When I entered the ministry, someone said to me, the only reason to go into ministry is if you're called to it, because if you're not, it'll be miserable. Right? Because I'm going to sound arrogant, I guess, but I think I was uniquely gifted and called, and those gifts were developed for this work. I worked in other things. They were miserable. They weren't horrible, but they weren't fulfilling like this. Because I stepped in the pulpit the first time, and honest to goodness said in the first morning, I said, I think I'm wearing shoes that fit for the first time in my life. This feels like the right thing. But there are things that we do together, activities that we do together that require your shoes in that place for us to get it done the way God intends for us to get it done. When that happens and we witness to that, it becomes attractive for others to become a part of this stream of generosity that flows through the center of the church into the community and the world. You know, of those 80% of people that aren't connected with the church community some way, they're all craving, well, all is probably a stretch, most of them are craving connection. They're craving ways to be in community. They're craving ways to make a difference. That stream of generosity offers them exactly that. And when we witness to that, we're simply telling the truth of God's generosity in our lives. Just as the headwaters of all great rivers start small and grow as they are combined with other springs, the gifts we are given are intended to be poured out together with the gifts of others that they may serve to sustain lives in our community and world. If we think of our gifts as tributaries to God's great river of generosity, we will not only contribute to, but will be witnesses, but we will also witness the benefits of our giving. When we give back according to what we've been given, we are simply participants in God's streams of generosity. It's not an onerous ask. It's an invitation to be a part of something bigger than us. As we consider what God is asking of us in this coming year, the question we are really asking is this: what mighty river might flow from Chapel Hill or through Chapel Hill into our community in our future if we all participate? How does our response change the answer to that question? That's it. Someone asked this morning, we're handing out stewardship packets, and so if you didn't get yours, then grab one on the way out. Whatever we don't get a handout today, we'll mail tomorrow. We'll make sure the folks get them in their hands. But someone asked me today about a targeted giving. Do we have a number that we're striving for? No. I'm hoping God surprises us with a number bigger than we can imagine. I'm not kidding. We don't have a targeted giving campaign. What we do when we budget at Chapel Hill is we let you tell us what you plan to give, and we look at those pool of resources and what we're holding and say, this is what we think we can do next year. How we budget is utterly dependent upon what you tell us you're giving. I'm not going to limit God in any way. Just going to let God do it, and we're going to manage what we take in. I'm going to ask you to pray with me for a minute as we consider that, and I'm going to invite the praise team to make their way back up this way. Dear God, we are so blessed. Even as we hear the sound of water running in the background, we know that it represents the source of all living, the source of all life. God, you have called us to the banks of the river that we might witness your generosity flowing in our midst. You invite us to participate, to wade in ankle, knee, waist deep, and to splash around in your generosity, and then to contribute. To pour some of what you've given us back in, that others might be invited to do the same. Lord, we have a pledge campaign. Really, it's just an invitation to generosity, the same as it is every year. And we ask, Lord, that you would just be a blessing in that, in all ways. We pray this in all things, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.